Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, I know, on a Raw review. This is weird. And I'm joined, even more weirdly, by Randy Andy Datsun.
I know. I was sitting in the office one day. Oh, here he comes already. I'm about to get a cat. Here he comes.
There's a cat. Show me the cat. Hello, cat.
That's Rufus.
Is that Rufus or Rufus?
It is Rufus. So I was sitting in the office one day, and Ollie and Mod Mother Jenna were going through the Christmas schedule. Mm. And I sort of half-heartedly went, oh, if there are any gaps that you really can't fill, let me know, and I'll try and help out. Can you hear the meow? You might be able to hear the meowing. Anyway, so... And then he just 5 minutes ahead, he goes, Andy, are you free on the 28th and 29th? I was like, yeah, probably. Okay, can you do Raw and NXT for me? I was like, that is not what I thought he was going to say. I was like, maybe SmackDown, an AEW show, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, Raw and NXT, everyone's favorites. And yeah, wow, you really want to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, not the best Christmas present I received this year. But speaking
what
of
is Christmas, the best I was going to say what is the best Christmas present you received this year? How was your Christmas?
Well, I asked for a Switch again and I got another toaster. No, it's not true.
Can you imagine?
Although I got everything I asked for. I got a new PlayStation 5 controller so that I can play with my girlfriend.
Lovely.
Ow, that's my leg, cat. I got lots of clothes because I'm very fashionable, so I always ask other people to buy me clothes so that I'm fashionable. And a bunch of just other things. I got my girlfriend pre-ordered the new Pokemon game, which comes out in January. So lots of nice things. What about you?
I didn't get all that much because what I wanted was money, so I got money. Which checks out. I got some socks. But I did get some very nice things from my lovely lady partner, yes. Who got me some shoes. I needed some shoes, so she got me some, which was nice.
You have a pair of shoes. That's good because you've been walking to the office barefoot for too long.
I know. It was a whole ordeal. Got that sorted now, which was great. The thing is, my very sweet lady partner made me an advent calendar. Nice. She like handmade like it's like a tiny little sack, and with like a number on it. That's an awful lot of rustling. Thank you, Rufus's tail going on Andy's microphone there.
Yeah.
This is brilliant content.
Welcome to having cats.
Yeah. She handmade me an advent calendar. So for each day it was numbered and it had like a few chocolates in it and like a tea light candle and things like that, which was very sweet, which means I now have an awful lot of chocolate I need to eat. Got some other stuff that I can't think of. Oh god, yeah. I got two new D&D books from my lovely lady partner. it was great. She has no idea about anything D&D related, but she just guessed as to what ones I wanted.
Were they the right ones?
And one of them was literally the top of what I wanted off my list.
Nice. Oh, and the other one you hated great. So much. So
the other one, I legitimately like didn't really know existed, and I was like, that's kind of cool. And looking through it, it's a really, really good book. So
excellent.
Happy with that.
Yeah. Sounds like she was very generous.
Very much so, yes. I felt very inadequate.
You got her some crisps.
I got her three gifts, but they were not very pricey gifts. They were each like little things.
Hey, they got it's the four. Thought that counts. And also the size, price, color, kind of how depreciation value and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's good. What are you going to spend the money on?
Not much. I'm going to save it.
Good.
Because that's what I need to do currently, is I would like to have some savings. So I'm saving it. Because, you know, at some point in the next couple of years, I'd really like to have a car because driving's good. So I want one of those because I like driving.
Could your lady partner not just drive the ambulance and you can have her car?
Yeah, that would be
like in GTA.
Yeah, she'll just hop in an ambulance and get the vigilante missions going. Yeah.
That
sounds great. Yeah.
Well, I've just sorted your life out for you, so you're welcome.
Perfect. I'll pitch that to her after the podcast is done.
I'm currently being my cat is dribbling all over. So when cats are happy, apparently they drool, and this cat just like gushes drool out of his mouth, sits on you and just goes bleh. So thank you, Doofus, my trousers, which were purple, are now black from in the spots where But what about New Year's? What are you doing on Friday night, if anything? I know a lot of people are doing nothing this year because they're a bit scared.
Yeah. I mean, the situation's not great. I again might be seeing my lady partner for that. Uncertain. Might be, might not be. It's kind of up in the air with the situation.
But then again, if beforehand you just don't test, then
then
neither of you can get it. So you'll be absolutely fine. Oh man, going through the Twitter comments last night, I realized, I was like, I'm not going to do it. But then I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to. This is going to be funny. And the amount of people who are like, finally, it's like, what do you mean?
For context, for anyone who hasn't heard, WWE have decided to not test for COVID anymore. They're just not doing. They had twice weekly for Performance Center talent and weekly for their main roster talent, and they're just not doing it at all anymore. So that's a thing.
So their testing system is now, if you start like coughing up your own lungs, they're like, oh, you should probably stay home now.
I don't know. I think you should still probably work. You've definitely not got COVID. So
you would hope that the majority of them will continue to test independently on their own.
You'd think so, but you know, it's America and they probably cost money.
That's true. Which... one test probably costs about £4 million. $4 million.
Yeah. Because it's America. I don't know the actual numbers, but we have the luxury of getting them for free here.
Yes. I've got my booster on Friday. So
lovely.
I've been invited to a party. I'm a plus two because I had two parties that I've been invited to and both of them got cancelled. So then I managed to latch on to my friends to a party. So hopefully my booster doesn't destroy me. Because otherwise, I'm going to be spending that party in a bed.
When's your booster? Sorry,
Friday morning.
Mate.
The party is Friday night,
mate.
So I'm hoping I just get a sore arm because my second jab really locked me out for an entire day. It was the only sick day I've ever taken from WrestleTalk was when my second booster because I just felt so lousy.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I've spoken to has kind of not been great with it, me included, is pretty rough, the booster. It was it wiped me out a little bit, very headachy and very just like hard to concentrate on anything, just very like lethargic the whole time, and obviously sore arm.
But remember, I'm well-ard.
You are well-ard, you're right.
Yeah, I'm from the mean streets of Surrey. So I saw someone steal a daffodil from a garden once.
Mate.
And they're still in prison.
So oh, yeah, I can imagine, yeah, for such a crime. Speaking of crimes, God, Raw's terrible. It's a crime to my eyeballs when I watch it. Let's talk about this episode of Raw, which we're going to start with the wedding vow renewal ceremony with Miz and Maryse, and then Edge and, oh God, let's talk about it. Oh no. Oh no. This wedding vow renewal segment with The Miz and Maryse and Edge wasn't very good.
It was really romantic, though.
Sure was. Welcome to the Rust Up Podcast review of Raw. I know it's a Raw review. I'm here. Datsun's here. What the hell is going on?
Well, it's because everyone thought in advance and went, I'm going to take the week after Christmas off. And then we didn't think about that. And we were therefore the only two people who were working in the office.
I think we
were chosen because we're really good.
Yeah, definitely. We weren't chosen by default at all. But we're reuniting the Dream Team from back in the day. The old SmackDown crew.
Yeah, I still need to talk to you about blowing me up.
We need to talk about Raw. No, we don't have time. We need to talk about Raw. Send in your Ultra Chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll go through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. And let's talk about this wedding vow renewal segment, which was The Miz and Maryse were renewing their vows on this show. It was officiated by Eric Bischoff, who came from out of nowhere. That was something. And then backstage, there was a backstage segment earlier where Miz got really mad about some flowers. Flowers did not feature in any of the design setup or any of the segment at all. But he got mad about some flowers and then introduced Eric Bischoff. And Eric was like, oh, I'm getting paid for this. And then Miz got mad about some flowers again. And then you have the actual segment. So, in 2019, they had a wedding segment on the final Raw of the year. It ended with Liv Morgan coming back, if you remember. Wasn't good. Wasn't well received. This one might have been worse?
It was.
I don't know.
It was less offensive to my face. Honestly, there was, like, leading into this, I saw last night a brief tweet about Miz and Maryse renewing their vows, and I simply assumed that it was an advert for Miz and Mrs. And then I woke up this morning and was doing the images for your news, and I saw that there was a picture of Eric Bischoff covered in black paint, and I thought, must be from a while ago. And then as I was doing your images, I was and reading your review at the same time, I went, Oh
no.
Well, they were both on Raw. And not only that, it was the main event of Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this was the main event segment.
And it just sort of like my main takeaway from this is that I know a lot of people are like, oh wow, that's my cat. This is Rufus. He wants to be on the podcast. Sorry, I've been distracted by my cat. The main takeaway I got was that there are surprises in wrestling, like Edge coming back at the Royal Rumble, where you know that they're going to happen, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it's still incredibly exciting, and you still jump out your seat, you still cheer and hug everyone, and then there's surprises like. Than Miz and Maryse being soaked in a brood bath. Because for the entire ceremony, you're like, well, Miz is in a white suit. Maryse is wearing white. Bischoff's wearing white. Everything's white. He's feuding with Edge. I can add two and two together. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I just
and when it happened, I was like, "Yep." Rather than "Whoa, oh mm-hmm. man, yeah, oh, they got brooded."
Yep. As I mean,
and that's not to say there weren't a couple of good bits. Like, I really enjoyed the fact that throughout their entire speed, like vows, the crowd just booed. It was fantastic. Like, that was funny, and the Miz trying to speak in French was funny. And I would actually quite like it if more weddings had, like, kind of pantomime audiences where during vow ceremonies people would just go, yeah, or boo, if they didn't like a specific vow. So it wasn't without its positives, but
yeah,
it was largely without its positives. And the fact that this was the last Raw segment of the year.
Sure was.
Well, it's a good sort of metaphor, the Miz being and the Murray's being covered in black paint. It's quite a good metaphor for 2021 on Raw.
Yeah, like you said, there was the mildly funny bit of Miz trying to, he says, you know, for you I'm gonna do my vows in French, and then tries to do it in French, and Maurice corrects him, and then he tries to say more French, he goes, that's Spanish, and he goes, I'm just gonna do it in English, and then we're back to English. Like, that was good comedic timing. They bounced off each other quite well, and that was nice. And then Edge came out and he was like, oh, don't worry, guys. I'm not going to ruin anything. Don't you worry. You can do your wedding as planned. It's like, why are you here then? And then he was like, yeah, come on. And he like gestured to the back, like faking out like someone was going to come out. And then he looked off in the stands and they were like, whoa, what's over there? And then he looked over the other end of the stands. And then they looked over there. Oh, no, what's going on over there? And then he's like, I'm just messing with you. You can totally have, you know, you just do your wedding. Just like normal. Just like normal. You go ahead, kids. Yeah, you have your wedding. And then he covered them in black ooze.
The red light comes on,
I guess.
And I mean, either the Miz has never watched wrestling before, or he's an idiot, because he just
mainly that
he just remains standing there. Like, it
sure does.
If I was looking at Edge and I was feuding with Edge and the red lights went on, I was like, well, I'm probably going to leave the ring, because I've seen this before somewhere. And if I remember correctly, it didn't end up well for the person in the ring. And, I mean, this is going to sound like maybe slightly pretentious, but, and I'm only 26, but I feel, I already feel too old for this. This kind of being 100%. Covered in black paint, or being covered in poo, or being covered in the gunge, the sort of green DX sort of gunge.
They did it twice in a week. Because they had, what was it, milk or something get poured on Corbin on SmackDown? I don't know. I didn't watch the show. Yeah.
But it's like, oh, right. This is what I'm reviewing. This is the main event of your show. And yeah, like, you could say some parts of this show they were backed into a corner because of certain issues, but presumably this is exactly what they planned, and it went completely to plan, and it still was presented like this.
It was real bad. It was real bad. Yeah, I thought that both of them did not come across well. I still don't know why Edge is feuding with Miz. It's just like a weird feud to me. Of all the feuds that Edge could have, you know, like for the house show in MSG, when they pulled a bunch of the talent because of the COVID outbreak they've got right now, they had a steel cage match between Kevin Owens and Edge. I was like, why can't we have that feud instead?
Yeah.
It's much better. Why are we having Edge and Miz?
They bring us, like, I'm not saying they have to have a steel cage match, but
no.
I don't know. They could say, like, just, I would almost prefer if they were honest, came out and go, look, due to sort of unforeseen circumstances, these matches won't be happening. However, as a result, we will be putting on a couple of exhibition matches.
Yeah.
And so the people who are there, you can go, look, we can go, look, we know they're not feuding, but we know that there are sort of extenuating circumstances. But it's okay, because Kevin Owens is there and he gets to have a match with blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And we'll enjoy that. Given 20 minutes, we go, hey, look, wasn't what I was expecting, but actually I still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But instead what they did was go, oh, crap. I guess we'll just still try and do exactly the same plans we did, but shoehorn in random people to try and make it work.
I mean, this was a problem with the entire show, was that yes, they were backed into a corner. If for people who don't know, they have a COVID outbreak in WWE right now. Seth Rollins confirmed on Twitter that he tested positive. They have several other top names they've pulled from shows. Not necessarily all of them have tested positive, but just as like a precaution, they want to keep some of their top names safe so they can still perform at day one. So like Roman Reigns, Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Big E, they've all been taken off shows. So they were left without their top stars for this show, which I understand that makes the shows more difficult to do. But the issue is that WWE rosters are so packed with talent that even if you don't have your top stars there, you still have some really good wrestlers on your roster. And you can make something of this show. This is your chance to have some of the undercard guys and some of the mid-card guys that you haven't really been featuring or pushing or all that stuff to showcase them and show what they're capable of on this show. You can spend more time on matches on this card, have like an exhibition one. You know when like they had the mumps scare in 2017, I want to say, when they had the TLC and yeah. They had AJ Styles versus Finn Balor instead, and they substituted in Kurt Angle in The Shield, his in-ring return in WWE. It's like, that is how you make something good of a bad situation. This was them being in a bad situation and just going, ah, well. Yeah. And, like, that's not how you deal with it, you know? I feel bad for them that they had to try and, you know, plaster together a show without all their top stars. And, you know, and I don't agree with almost all of their business practices, but protecting some of your stars when you have an outbreak in your company, even if they didn't test positive, is probably a smart idea. I like that, but this is not the way to cope with it. This show is not the answer.
I have absolute sympathy for that fact, but then my sympathy immediately evaporates when they announce they're not going to do, or like they're not announcing, but like the report is they're no longer testing, and it's kind of like, hey, good job, but also really bad job.
Really bad
like,
job.
I did feel a bit like Batista, sort of. Mm. Oh wait, no, this is bad. So. Yeah, it was not the best episode of Raw I've seen this year.
No, it was a really bad episode.
But like, I mean, what did we expect, Pete?
I don't know. The thing is, this felt like a B level Raw. This felt like a Raw without all their top stars, which it was. But sometimes when you have those situations, you can churn out magic, you know, when they had the NXT invasion episode on SmackDown, when they didn't have any of their guys because they got stranded in Saudi Arabia and they were like, what do we do? And they just got a bunch of NXT guys in and put on some fun matches.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. That's how you make the best of a bad situation. This was just Raw without top stars. It's much worse than what they put on normally. This was not good.
At the moment, they really need their top stars to make it even slightly kind of watchable. I'm not, because I feel like I'm crapping all the wrestlers. It's not their fault. They're just given rubbish to do.
No, it's like, not the performance.
Not having Becky Lynch there to cut a 10-minute promo, it means that the pacing of the entire show is off. And it means that there's no kind of moments where you go, okay, look, that hour wasn't great, but at least we had that segment where we go, oh, but that was good, so that we'll kind of give it a pass. There was almost none of that. There was like one good section and it happened immediately. And therefore for like 2.5 hours, we had nothing to write home about.
And as Annika Wilson's just pointed out in the chat, if you want to put on some exhibition matches, Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Guy is challenging for the WWE Championship against a guy whose opponent was flown away from the show. Like, come on, guys. It's not rocket science, you know? Just put on a good show. And they didn't. It was very frustrating. And I think it was really summed up by this wedding vow renewal segment, because I don't know whether it was originally planned to be the main event segment of the show. It probably was. Because cleaning up that ooze is a pain. You know, having a rest of the show afterwards is probably not a good idea. But maybe their hand was forced and maybe they were going to have a cleanup thing and they were going to have a few, you know, backstage segments or whatever to give them time to clean up so they could carry on the show afterwards. I don't know. And maybe this got bumped up to the main event segment when it wasn't planned to originally. I don't know what their original plans are, but this segment sucked. This is the main event go home segment for your go home show for day one, which apparently, according to reports, they really want to make a huge deal. It's like their big inaugural day one. It's the reason they've got Reigns Lesnar on this show, is to make it feel like a massive deal. And this doesn't feel like a massive deal at all when you just have this show as the go home episode. It failed at its purpose to make me excited for the show.
It's supposed to be like the start of maybe a big five pay-per-view where it's like, it's the every single year they mm-hmm. do a show on. I mean, I guess they've got to hope that, I mean, next year I guess day one will be on a Sunday, but then are they going to have a show every single January 1st? Or will it be just will it be like day six in a few years time?
I think they're still going to do it on January 1st. I think that was the idea, was it was going to be an annual tradition every year. January 1st, there will be a WWE show. Which, sure, if that's what you want to do, great. Make it a tradition. But this one, okay.
His name's Rufus, for those asking. And he's very hairy. And this is a new jumper. And it's already looks terrible because it's full of cat hair.
Mm. And anyway,
yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think we should get into some Ultra Chats here and see what people thought of the show. Make sure to send those in at wrestletalk.com/support. We'll be talking more about this episode shortly. But let's get into some of these now. Kadem XBL said, I couldn't give an F about an Edge versus Miz feud. Let him fight all the new talent he's wanted to from the start. Put the US title on him and have him do a weekly open challenge. What would you do with Edge? Quickly, before all the newer talent are fired.
Not the Miz. The Miz is a great mid-card heel.
Mm. Give me more of the Edge Rollins feud was great. do more of that stuff. Give me Edge versus Owens. Give me Edge versus Big E. Give me Edge versus Lashley.
What you need Edge to do is to face people who are like, I want to say the modern day Edge, but kind of people who can go with him in the ring and therefore be like, hey, look, you old man. And then his kind of role right now is to prove that he can still go over and over again. And I'm not saying he needs to, not that doesn't mean the basis of every feud, but he needs to face people who are really good in the ring. And therefore they can go like, hey, this is my, almost like a, this is my yard now kind of thing. And then for Edge to face him. But The Miz, and like the Edge sort of going, oh, I finally get to face you. I don't believe that that's actually something he wants to do. Whereas when he was facing Rollins, I'm like, oh no, this is probably something he specifically requested.
Yeah. Like, give me Edge versus AJ Styles. Come on. Like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, didn't, I don't know, man.
Didn't Edge, like, destroy AJ Styles' shoulder a couple of years ago?
I don't know.
In the Rumble. Do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, like someone says it's Austin Theory. Just like, give him against the young guys who was like, veteran versus not veteran.
Chad Gable.
Yeah.
God, please give him more. He's so
unfortunately,
good.
That's not going to happen.
No. Chance 25 said, it's very fitting for WWE to have a segment that will undoubtedly do numbers on YouTube and other socials end the year while simultaneously being a dreadful segment while also cancelling COVID tests. This company doesn't begin to cover it anymore. I agree. I agree.
Yes.
Good God. We got some general ones about Raw. Charles Berg said, so instead of watching Raw, I watched the new MacGruber show on Peacock with all my holiday dogs. It was a good choice. The movie was always a guilty pleasure of mine. If you like sophomoric humor, then this is the show for you. Villain's name is Queef. Jam that jam.
Queef's a funny word.
Yep. Perseus M said, I didn't watch Raw because I was playing Blood on the Clock Tower. Nice. Did Eric Bischoff say 3 minutes anytime? That would have popped the 10-year-old in me. No.
Why is there a 10-year-old in you?
God damn it, Andy. The Jedi Muffin said, hey, WrestleFam, your favorite Michigan-based force using baked goods returns. I went to the LCA, the Little Caesars Arena, to see the show live yesterday, and I think the Mars delivery truck got stuck in Detroit traffic with Apollo's winning record. Jam that jam.
I forgot about Apollo. I didn't even know he was on Raw.
This is genuinely quite an interesting perspective, because as someone, Andy, who does not watch Raw and like barely keeps up with it, this is quite interesting to like come back to it after so long to be like, what the hell is going on? This is great.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is just if I just watched this, I would go like, oh, well, they are grooming Omos for a match with, almost calling Babatunde, with Commander Aziz, because that's like, I mean, that is Vince McMahon's boner match. It feels like at the moment. Like, can you imagine those two wrestling each other, just sort of running into each other?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I assume that Aziz has to be more agile than Omos, but then so is a Redwood. So, like, I don't know, man. It was just nothing. There was nothing that excited me.
On this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the opening segment, but that was it.
And speaking of the opening segment, let's get into the full review of the show, the play-by-play review. Keep sending in your Ultra Chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll go through the rest of those later on. The opening segment was RK-Bro. And as always, Riddle is funny. That's what he do. Came out and was funny. Orton says that the only way he's going to have a happy new year is by beating Otis tonight and then them retaining their tag titles at day one on Saturday. Also, he played footage as a recap from last week, and it made sense because Riddle wasn't there last week, And he said, look, can someone in the production truck just play the thing from last week to show Riddle because he wasn't here? And then they played a replay. And I'm like, it makes sense. They threw to a video clip and it worked. Oh, my God.
But it also crazy. Suggests that they don't talk in the week.
Yeah, but that's ignoring that because that's just continuity of wrestling as a whole. Yeah. But yeah, that's just a whole wrestling thing. They got interrupted by Alpha Academy and Chad Gable was saying that he recently got a master's degree. I really enjoyed Otis when Chad Gable said that. Otis just screamed off mic and just went, "He's a master!" Like really loud off mic. And I was like, that's very
I miss
funny.
I miss Otis. Funny, man. I miss Otis being good. Remember when he was Money in the Bank, Mr. Money in the Bank? That was weird,
that was last
wasn't it?
Year.
I mean, it was
that
weird.
Was last year.
Yeah, but poor Tucker.
Oh God, yeah. Riddle then makes a weed joke, saying he's someone of higher education.
I get it.
And he's saying he wants to fight Gable. You then have Riddle versus Gable, and oh my God, Gable is such a good wrestler.
Can you imagine if this had gone on for like 25 minutes?
Ugh,
and it can't because you got to put over Riddle. Also, I just realized I look like a kind of person you need to speak to in a video game because I've got this above my head. You got to click on me, and I'm like, and I got to give you a task.
Oh man, it's brilliant.
Pete, you must review Raw. No!
No!
The hardest
task. I don't
want
to. Yeah.
Gable's so good. Good match. And then, Shane Gable has to lose. And then it was Randy Orton against Otis and whatever. That match was less interesting.
Literally. But. Yeah, it was. And I think both of them were fine. Both of them were good. I really love Gable and everything he does. I think his match with Riddle was better, but both of them lasted a few minutes and then ended. Like, it's not really enough time to, like, properly, you know, buy into anything. It was Riddle had a present for Randy afterwards, which was a hug, and they hugged.
I wish you would give the same present to this Randy.
Sorry, mate. You know, COVID and all that.
That's true.
But, like a fairly decent, fun opening segment. Inoffensive stuff, decent matches, solid,
and
good
opening. And then it was the main event, and that was Raw.
Oh my God. We've got to talk about the rest. Do you want to know what came next, Andy?
Tell me, Pete.
After some backstage segments of Biggie did a pre-recorded promo and KO did a promo backstage, they were whatever, just hyping up their day one match. We then got Dana Brooke and Reggie versus R-Truth and Tamina in a mixed tag match. Now, I said in my edited review, I don't think I could pick four people to put on a worse match.
It's like, oh no, we won't put on a good exhibition match. We'll put on this. It was almost like they'd gone, look, Dana, we'll give you a match. It's Christmas. Don't worry. I promise you, you can have a match.
24/7 champion, Dana Brooke.
And they go, I mean, just give her a singles women's singles match. So I'm
Dude,
gonna stop letting the cat get up. Go away.
This was the only women's match on the show, and it was a mixed tag match.
Yeah, and it was really worth it. I mean, and Christ, they said what was it? They couldn't have picked anyone better than Tamina. I went, I could think of at least everyone
that
in the company.
That was Corey Graves and commentary saying R-Truth couldn't have picked himself a better tag team partner for tonight because there's nobody meaner than Tamina. And I went, Corey.
Yeah,
Corey.
Chaos Control in the chat. R-Truth can wrestle. Yes, I know he can wrestle, but
yeah.
Unfortunately,
but he doesn't wrestle, does he? That's the thing. He's just a comedy character. He doesn't actually do wrestling anymore. He can wrestle, but not in WWE because his producers just be the comedy goof. So he doesn't actually put on good matches.
But also in the match are Reggie, who isn't really wrestling. He will have had some wrestling training at this point, but he's essentially a circus act.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's his career. And then you've got arguably the two. I don't want to get all like I don't want to upset any Tamina and Dana Brooke fans. I know you're out there. arguably the two least charismatic and least interesting in the ring people you could have picked in the whole WWE main roster.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that's fair.
And no, I really don't. I'm just saying that's how their character's been portrayed. I'm not saying that they are the worst. But
yes,
the way that their character's been portrayed, that was the worst choice you could have picked if you wanted to put on a good match, which I don't think that was the point of the match. It was to give the 24/7 championship a semblance of meaning, I suppose.
Was it? Was that the point of the match? Because I don't know what the point of the match was. It was pointless. It was R-Truth lost to Reggie, got rolled up by Reggie. Tamina then got annoyed at R-Truth and tried to take a swing at him, but he dodged it. And then Dana Brooke beat up Tamina. That was a whole segment. That was the thing. It's pointless.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Right. Yeah, pure filler, this.
Yeah, and I mean, and up next, like...
Wait. Just before we get to the next segment, because what came after this was very important.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. I have seen internet compilations of people coming for longer than Veer Mahan, but only a handful. And soon he's going to overtake all of them.
Yeah, he sure is. It's
a joke. I mean, it has to be a joke. And like, it's sort of funny, but at the same time, like, this is just wasting this guy's life.
And he's I get it.
It's funny, and I'm sure he's sort of behind the joke, but it's like, all right.
See, the thing is,
is he just going to come and then immediately lose? Because that, I feel like, would have to be the sort of the punchline.
The thing is, it's not a joke on TV. The social media teams are making it a joke. They're in on the joke. They did the send Hook thing when they said send Veer. They know what they're doing. They're leaning into the joke of Veer Mahan not coming soon. I mean, look at all of these things. Jesus Christ, guys. The social media team bloody loves this stuff, right?
And that's last week.
I know.
Add another one.
Yeah, add an extra one into this, right? That's how many weeks it's been. It's been so many. But the social media teams are in on the joke. They're doing it seriously on TV. Veer Mahan coming soon. At this point, I don't want him to ever debut. I want it to be years down the line. Veer Mahan coming soon.
I hope he debuts as Veer Molina.
I realize that just sounds like Molina and not Emelina.
It does sound like Veer and Molina. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good tag team. Next match challenge, come back.
Absolutely.
Are we waiting for like an Indian pay per view? Are they going to hold? When they did a show last year in India, didn't they? Or was that beginning of this year?
I couldn't tell you.
I believe they did one with like Drew McIntyre and was facing against Jinder Mahal.
We've spoken for way too long about this. I'll be honest.
No, Veer Mahan is the most important thing on this show. Yeah, no, go carry on.
Yeah. We got a recap of Vega versus Ripley from last week. Nikki A.S.H. is backstage. On behalf of Rhea, she challenges Zelina and Carmella. Later in the show, Carmella accepted because who else are you going to face? Yeah. So we're getting another women's tag title match.
Well, surely Tamina and Dana Brooke can put aside their differences now and create another fascinating tag team.
We then got a video package of the Reigns versus Lesnar stuff, basically recapping Reigns' entire run since he came back, and then the firing from SmackDown last week of Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar standing tall, etc. And then we got the finals of the RK Bronament of the Street Profits versus the Mysterios. Winner faces RK Bro at day one. And you know what? I think this was actually the best thing on the show. This was a really good match. Really enjoyed this.
It was easily the best match on the show. The thing is, because it was good in a sort of pile of not good, you just forget kind of that it happens. Mm. And like, I was just scrolling down my notes. I went, oh, yeah. And I don't want to be going, oh, yeah. I want to be going, oh, yeah, that was good. And that was good. And that was good. And so it really detracts, because by the time it comes round, I'm bored. And so, therefore, it's like towards the end of the match, you're like, okay, I'm getting into this, and then the match finishes. But yes, it was very good. And obviously it was very good because there's two good teams in it. And not only that, but it means that we get to see Street Profits against the RK Bro, which is another positive.
Match.
So
yeah,
lots of positives in this short segment.
Absolutely, yeah. And I thought that the time they got for the match was good. Like, it wasn't like it didn't last a couple minutes. It got a bit of time. It wasn't a long match by any means, but it got some time. I thought that both teams looked great. I was stunned that Montez Ford kicked out of a 619. What? Like, Ray hit a 619, Dominic hit a frog splash on him, and he kicked out. I went, what?
It's because Dominic hit the frog splash.
I know, right? Because he's stupid.
He's much heavier than Ray.
Yeah. It's all about the technique, though, you know? It's like the torque you get on it.
Yeah.
But then Street Profits came back, hit a blockbuster onto Dominic, and yeah, they got the win. Really fun match. Really enjoyed it. Lots of near falls towards the end. Good stuff. We then got a recap of AJ and Omos splitting up from last week. We then had the backstage segment of the Miz getting mad over some flowers and introducing Eric Bischoff, who was there. And then AJ says he's going to beat up Omos next time he sees him because it was supposed to be AJ versus Omos on this week's episode. But according to reports, Omos was flown back home before Raw started. He was there in Detroit for the show, but then got flown home. We don't know why yet. We don't know if it's related to the COVID outbreak or anything else. We have no idea. So, but he got flown away, so AJ didn't have an opponent for tonight. So instead, Grayson Waller's in the crowd. Oh, balls. I can't escape NXT. Grayson Waller did a promo. It was whatever. I don't care about Grayson Waller. And then he said, you know, after I'm going to take your place on Raw after Omos is done with you. Great. Can't wait for that.
More importantly, can you imagine how much legroom Omos would need on a plane?
He'd need a fair bit, right?
He'd have to be either in the wing seat or in business class or in the front row. Because I mean, he's pretty very tall. He takes up an entire plane, surely.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was where my mind was when you were talking about Grayson Waller.
Yeah, that's fair. But then, yeah, Grayson did a promo, and it looked like it was some more AJ Styles thing that was furthered on NXT last week because Grayson made fun of his hair. That's how that whole thing started.
Oh, I wish he wouldn't go there.
Yeah, and then Apollo Crews came out, and he said, as part of his promo, he was like, you know, AJ, you've lost your giant, but my giant's still here. So it's going to be AJ Styles versus Commander Aziz. And I was like, you know what? If it's not going to be AJ versus Omos, if Omos isn't there, this actually makes a lot of sense. You know, it's another giant. AJ can beat him to prove he can slay a giant kind of thing. Commander Aziz hasn't been particularly like protected. It's not a huge loss for him. Doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but it gives AJ a big win. Like, the parallels between them are drawing more, and it shows that he can be a giant in future weeks. That makes sense. We cut to an ad break, and I was like, okay, it's going to be AJ versus Commander Aziz when we come back. When we come back, it's AJ Styles versus Apollo Crews. And I was like, wait, what? I thought they said it was going to be Commander Aziz. Like, Aziz got in the ring and was, like, squaring up, right? I was like, wait, what have I missed? And then on commentary, they say, well, during the ad break, Apollo Crews said to the crowd, I'm going to give Commander Aziz the night off, so it's going to be me versus AJ instead.
There's plenty of time on the show to have done that while the cameras were rolling.
But, like, why would you even need to do that?
Cut it out. We can't do that bit. We'll do it in the ad break.
Why do you even need to do that? Like, why would we set up the thing to then retroactively change something in the ad break? Why not just go with Apollo versus AJ in the first place? Why would you tease Aziz and then do AJ? What? I'm so confused. What is this? Why?
I don't know, man. Well, I mean, where's Apollo been anyway? Has he been on a cruise?
You're so funny.
I know. Sorry, I realized I hadn't done one. It's been 36 minutes.
And, like, the whole point of having Aziz was that it was the parallel with Omos, and now it's just a match with a guy. And, like, these two put on a decent match, but it was short, and it was okay, and they went back and forth, and there was a really nice setup into the Styles Clash, which I liked. Yeah, that was it, you know? I just, whatever. I don't know, man. Also, he hit a phenomenal forearm to Commander Aziz. This bit was weird. Hit a phenomenal forearm to Commander Aziz. And I was like, okay, so he's like, he could be a giant. I guess that's the parallel of the drawing with Omos. That's fine. And then AJ's music starts playing. And then Commander Aziz gets back up and looks like he's going to, like, attack AJ again. And then AJ looks like he, like, says something to him and was like, sell my move, please. And then Aziz was like, oh, no. And then he, like, stumbled into the corner.
It like, did feel a bit like a sort of video game glitch where you hit the big guy and they die. But then for some reason they stand up again and then go, oh, wait. And then the coding comes back into the game. He goes, oh, no, he's over again.
No.
Yeah.
Totally. What?
Yeah, it just felt like a bit of miscommunication. He forgot that was AJ's finisher. So therefore he was like, ow. Right, what's next? Oh, wait. Ooh.
Yeah. And like, sure, like, I think he punched him. Like, he went, ah. And like, that was it. But like, why would you... Phenomenal forearm. That's the thing you end on. Not a punch. You know? It didn't feel like it was supposed to be, ooh, Aziz, you know, he can take a phenomenal forearm, was like half selling it, like a big dude kind of thing. It did not feel like that at all because his music was already playing, like the segment was already ended. But then he was like stumbling and going like, whoa, and then he punches him and he goes, oh no.
Because presumably Aziz and Apollo won't be together forever. So, I mean, at some point he's not going to be a commander. So he will become... Do you reckon he'll just become Commander one day, or will he just become Aziz?
He'll become Babatunde.
You reckon?
Or Dabakato.
Dabakato, I mean, it's a silly name, but it's much better than if it was just Aziz.
I mean, who cares, is what
I'd say. I'd like him to get demoted the more matches he loses. What's under Commander?
I don't know. General?
Army ranks. Bear with.
I have no idea.
Officer,
Private Aziz.
Lieutenant, Captain. I've got a private disease. Major, Lieutenant Colonel, Brigadier, Major General, Field Marshal. Oh, I've run out.
This is great content.
It is. Don't worry, I'm going to find out. Commander. Oh, I think it's only in the US Army.
While you're doing that, we then had Kevin Owens coming out to the ring. Also, I really appreciate the fact that on the graphic for the day one fatal four-way for the WWE Championship, it says Seth freaking Rollins. Not Seth Rollins. Seth freaking Rollins on the graphic, which is really stupid. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's very, very dumb. Kevin Owens does a promo on top of the other promo that he already did. Backstage, just saying that he's the only one of the four that's here tonight because he's the best or whatever. He gets interrupted by MVP. MVP says, Bobby Lashley has not forgotten about you. He got a text from Bobby Lashley.
Oh, the anonymous says, Bobby Lashley.
That says, he's going to rip the wet noodle arms off Kevin's ectomorphic body.
Pete, is that not how you talk to your friends? Like, yeah, Pete, you play D&D, and even you'd be surprised if someone said that during a D&D campaign.
I sure would. I would laugh at them because it's ridiculous. I said this on my edited review on the main WrestleTalk channel as well. Script writers don't know how to write scripts. This is a bad script. It's a real bad script.
At what point does someone write ectomorphic and everyone goes, yeah?
Vince does that because he's like, huh, those ectomorphs. It's not funny.
Oh man, I'm gonna destroy that vertebrate.
And then, to make the segment not much better, out comes Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, who have not been part of the Hurt Business since SummerSlam, when Goldberg needed people to beat up. They came out here and they were like, hey, man, do you know when Lashley was at his best? When he was rolling with us in the Hurt Business. So we're going to help Lashley. And then MVP was like, hey, man, we can talk business if you want. It's like, I thought you were together. Like, you never actually split up. So you're kind of technically still Hurt Business, even though you're not Hurt Business. I don't know where your allegiances are. I'll be honest with you. Also, Cedric and Shelton had a feud that went on for several weeks. That's not the point. KO said, all right, let's skip all this. I know where this is going. I'm going to have a match against one of you. You want to soften me up for Lashley on day one? Cool, let's have a match. Cedric Alexander had a match. KO won with pop-up powerbomb and a stunner. And then Shelton Benjamin came in, and then he hit him with a stunner as well. I thought Kevin Owens was a heel, and I thought Lashley was a face. This was the opposite for both of them. KO worked face, and Lashley's cronies were being very heelish. So,
yeah. And by the way, it'd be Lieutenant Aziz. That's what he was.
I'm glad we went back to that.
Or Lieutenant, and then midshipman. It's a naval rank, and he'd be. Eventually, he would become leading a petty officer. Petty Officer Aziz, and then Leading Hand Aziz, and then Able Rate Aziz.
Anyway, this did nothing for anyone, really.
No, it sucked. Okay, cool that you got KO stunning people, but I don't think more of him after he's done that.
No, because it's against Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Who, like, haven't been around at all, you know?
It's like, wow, you beat up two guys who haven't won a match in ever.
Yeah, right?
Well done.
Yeah, congrats. You're going for the WWE Championship? Great. I buy you a lot more now. Then we got, this is the only instance, it's been bad throughout the whole show, but this is the one instance I will mention of pacing.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Dolph Ziggler made his entrance. He's got a United States Championship match against Damian Priest. Dolph Ziggler made his entrance. Cut to an ad break. We come back. There's an advert for NXT 2.0, which is airing tomorrow, Tuesday nights on USA. We go back to the ring. The dude, I've genuinely forgotten his name at this point, says, here's a special video package about Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch. Then we play the video package for... Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch, which was decent, but whatever. Then we go to earlier today. Here's a promo from Damian Priest. And then we cut back to the ring. Ziggler's still just, you know, standing around. Out comes Damian Priest. Then we go to another ad break. Mike Rome, thank you, chat, was the guy that said that. We go back to another ad break. Then we come back from the ad break. And then they say, the challenger for this match, weighing in at whatever, do all the introductions. For the United States title match. And then the bell rings and then they start. So, not including the time spent on ad breaks, there was actually 10 minutes of Raw between when the segment started and when the bell rang for their match. 10 minutes of actual product that you're supposed to watch. Of nothing. Really. Nothing related to their segment. They don't know how to pace their shows.
During this time... What is happening in the ring?
Nothing is happening in the ring.
It's so funny. I love the idea that the guys in the ring just like pull out a couple of chairs and like, we won't fight yet. Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, Becky. Yeah. Oh, Becky against Liv. Nice. Oh, and that's your promo from earlier. Well done. That's a good promo. Oh, it's over. All right. Okay, let's fight.
Yeah.
That's why I fight.
It's very stupid. Okay. Let's talk about this United States title match.
Mm.
Because the whole character that they got going for, the Damian, inside Damian Priest, please change the name. It's really bad. Is that he gets really angry and then doesn't care about like winning or losing. He just wants to beat people up when he becomes the Damian. When the Damian gets angry, that's what happens, right? Commentary putting over in this match how Dolph Ziggler's plan for this match is to unleash the Damian, because that's when he makes mistakes. Even though we've seen several times over that when the Damian gets angry, he loses via count out, via DQ. He just stops caring about wins and losses and he just beats people up and he can't be stopped, right? Dolph Ziggler's plan was to have him do that, and then he was supposedly like supposed to take advantage of him getting too angry. So what happened is that he unleashed the Damien inside him, and then he got DQ'd. So Dolph Ziggler didn't get the belt, and Damien lost. What was the point of all of this? What is Ziggler's plan? Because he knows this is exactly what happens when Damien gets angry. We've seen it so many times now. What is your plan, Dolph? And this made Damien look stupid because he doesn't care about winning anymore. This made Dolph look stupid because he won via DQ and didn't get the belt. And this was his plan.
What a plan.
What is it?
Former world champion. I mean, do you not call it the Pete when you get angry? Oh, damn, Ollie. Yeah, I don't want to do the Raw review. I'm gonna unleash the Pete
the
on that.
Pete on you. Good God.
Oh, the Pete is coming out. Yeah, I think it sounds like with ectomorphic. I think they think it sounds cool.
What, having the Damien come out?
Because you could sort of imagine it in being in a really terrible B-list horror film from the 1980s.
Sure.
Called The Damien.
Mm-hmm.
Where this is a normal guy, but at night, oh no, when the lights go out and the sun goes down, he becomes the Damien, and you can't stop him. Ah, no, it's the Damien. Or like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Mm.
Hey, gang, have you heard there's a Damien on the loose? as soon as he turns into Damien, he loses wrestling matches. Oh, no, he's got to be stopped. Oh, my God, it was Damien Priest all along. Who would have thought?
Damien.
It was the creepy wrestler.
His name is Damien. And they just say, oh, I've got this Damien inside me. Like, yeah. No kidding. You're called Damien. It's very stupid. This match sucked. It was a waste of time. It was a waste of everyone's time. Ah, it's made me angry. And then we had the main event of the wedding vow renewal, which we've already spoken about, which was pretty bad. So overall, this show sucked. There were a couple of okay to good things on this show, being like the opening segment, including like those two very quick matches. And, like, the Street Profits versus Mysterios was good. And I think that's it on a 3-hour show.
I mean, it was the best episode of Raw I've watched all year. And therefore, five out of five.
Mm, yeah, easy 5 out of 5. No, this was a 1 out of 5 show. This was really bad. Made a lot of people look very, very stupid. But I'm being generous because they didn't have many of their top stars. So granted, they could have put on a better show. Like, we've spoken about this in detail already, how they definitely could have put on a better show if they wanted to. And they didn't, which is their fault. But also, they didn't have some of their top stars ready, which, you know, maybe they had other things planned for the show and was going to be a lot better. And they were, you know, scrambling last minute. I understand. So to be generous, I will bump it to a 2. But this was not good. I did not enjoy myself watching this show. Put it that way.
I just can't wait for Raw in 2022.
It's going to be so much different, right?
It's a new year, man. They're going to give us what we want. Don't you remember 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
3 years.
They said they were going to tell Pete, just trust. It's long-term booking.
Let it play out. Raw in 2022, I'm sure, will hit different. The poll on our community tab, 50% of people voted for this to be a 1 out of 5 show.
That's 23%, hefty.
23% voted for a 2 out of 5, 19% voted for a 3 out of 5, and 4% voted for both 5 out of 5 and 4 out of 5. So overall, a pretty bad show is what
so
I'd call it.
So 3/4 of the people who watched the show and did our poll thought it was an actively
bad
show.
Real bad, yeah. Real bad. Hated the show. Hated the fact I had to review it. Hate the fact that people are off. How dare Ollie and Luke be off this time of the year, and they made me review the show.
Hey, at least we're going to review NXT tomorrow.
Oh my God. Andy, I don't want to.
We could talk about something else, like you did last week.
Yeah, if we just talk about... People got so mad when I started reviewing the hamper last week. Not people in the live chat, but I saw in comments afterwards, people were like, oh, why are you not talking about NXT and not taking it seriously? I'm like, because it doesn't take itself seriously.
Yeah, I saw someone who was very angry about you doing news all week. It was...
checks out.
She was... I think she said, what have we done to deserve this? I don't know. It's just another person reading the same news.
When I was going through the comments of the edited news video today, actually, because one of the things you do is after the video goes live, you respond to some of the comments. That's just what we do. I was going through some of the edited review comments, and thank you, Luke. And there was one person who went off on all of us, massive like paragraph of them, like, I don't understand why, you know, Rampage was live at the weekend, and yet on Parts of Unknown, they crapped on WWE for daring to put on shows on Christmas Day. This is why this media outlet sucks, and they've got blinders on, and they have such AEW bias. And then I just responded, I was like, Rampage was pre-taped. That's, you're just an idiot. Anyway, yeah. I enjoy people not enjoying my work sometimes. It's very funny. And as Luke rightly pointed out in the chat, he got emails from people that were going to stop watching our content. I got my own category. Hell yeah. It was great.
Oh, whoops. I didn't mean to do that one. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that one.
No, I bet you didn't. Mate, do you want to review Raw more? Are you sure?
It's quite funny, really. I don't...
Think about how sad you were when you watched it this morning.
Because I had the day off other than this, and the doing the images morning, I didn't watch it till like midday, and so I wasn't like really tired when I was watching it, and therefore I was like, oh, I can kind of have it on and have my lunch and make some notes. So it wasn't the worst one, but yeah, I mean,
mine sucked. I watched it at
half
six this morning.
I wouldn't want to do it every week. No, you're right.
That sucked. Anyway, let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Send those in. Last chance to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support. We're going to read all the ones that are $5 and up. Andy, please stop throwing up comments on the screen.
I didn't mean to do that.
No, of course you didn't. It's just all the ones that are complimenting you. But anyway, let's get into the rest of these. Jack Nichols said, hey, Andy's back. Hope you guys had a Merry Christmas. Cheers for all of the time and effort you put into entertaining thousands of people, especially Pete. Hashtag workhorse. Raw was a mess. That cat is cute. All the best. Jack with an E. Thank you.
Yes, the cat is cute, although annoying.
Yes, thank you very much. Riot DR said, I watched all of Raw, I think. I'm pretty sure my failsafe triggered in my brain because I dozed off before Ziggler's entrance and woke as soon as Raw ended. 11:01 EST. Raw needed more Riddle versus Gable. WrestleTalk needs more cats.
I didn't fall asleep, thankfully. The only time I've fallen asleep during a wrestling show was 20 minutes before both Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan debuted for AW, and I woke up and went, huh, oh, I missed the end. And then that had happened and I was really upset. I wish I could fall asleep during other shows.
Right, DR says, so Seth tested positive for the negative global thing, yet the match is going on as planned. Is he going to wrestle with a mask or a respirator? Is recovery just faster now? No more weekly testing. What the F is happening? Love you all. Jam that jam.
WWE.
Yeah. Eternal Blue said, can't watch today, but I have to say something. That the Saudi thing was my last straw, but Vince not testing his own employees whose lives and careers are at stake because of one pay-per-view. Anybody who respects WWE now, I have problems respecting in kind.
Yeah, you got to think... Again, you can't really... I don't want to level in the accusations, but like, you got to think that it's probably so that people can be at day one.
Yeah, probably. Andy,
that wasn't me. That must have been you. Mm-hmm. You've Definitely. I don't have access to this.
I mean, you do. yes. Gary Pierce said, in honor of Pete stepping up to do the lion's share on screen over the festive period, could we see the channels being renamed Petal Talk and Petal Talk Podcast? Also, it's great to see Andy back for a cameo. Hashtag Petal Talk Podcast. Hashtag Petal Talk. No.
Petal Talk sounds horrible.
It doesn't sound good.
It does sound like
also...
a kind of, it sounds like a podcast about urinary tract.
Yeah. And also, no, I think renaming the channels is a really bad idea for, you know, like, searching for it.
Imagine.
And people finding it.
Announced one day, we're Petal Talk now. And
we
announce it once on the NXT podcast.
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah. The most watched podcast. Yeah.
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 Kevin May said, hello, don't watch WWE, but I like to support your podcast and they're great fun to watch. Can Andy please now become the new voiceover man for movies? I really want to see The Damien versus Scooby-Doo now.
Oh, I did actually, for Christmas, I forgot to say, I got a mini kind of sound booth because I want to try and voice audiobooks for people. So if anyone has an audiobook, has written a book, who wants the voiceover, I can do many voices, but mainly this one. And I can do Nikki Cross. I can do offensive versions of most accents you can think of. Mm-hmm. Not intentionally offensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really charismatic.
Clearly, yeah. Also, I'm doing voice acting, if anyone's curious. So if you've got things you're working on, you want me to do a voice for it, I'll do it too.
Yeah,
so email me.
I'm better.
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Jonathan Hedman has been a member for 5 months in a row. Thank you, Jonathan Hedman. Appreciate it. Who says, unleash the Pete? No?
What would happen if... Okay, let's say we were having an argument in the office and it was just us two. What would happen if you suddenly unleashed the Pete?
Not much. I'm fairly mellow, apart from when I'm not.
That sounded like a really, really lame line from a movie. I'm pretty mellow, except when I'm not.
Except for when I'm
oh,
not.
Oh no! Like a like
you
a,
won't like me when I'm not mellow.
Yeah. It, like you're a kind of slight nerd in the cafeteria, and a bully like punches you, and then he walks away, and you say under your breath, oh, "I'm pretty mellow," except when I'm not. And then you stand up and throw your quiche at him.
Yeah. It's like, I'm pretty mellow. Not. And then and shut the thing. Yeah. Anyway, James Handley says, it seems like Miz distraction finishes, surprise roll-ups, and talk show segments are comforting to Vince. Like, new kinds of wrestling confuses, scares, and infuriates him so much that he cuddles up next to a fire with a warm cup of Miz to calm his nerves.
Yeah, if in doubt, Miz promo.
Yeah. Vandalia 1998 says, I like The Miz, but not against Edge. The last time he was relevant and had a good story, IMO, was against Shane in 2019 and couldn't pick up a win when it mattered and was just used to make Shane look strong. Hey man, they put on the best match of WrestleMania 35. Miz versus Shane is a classic.
That was a good match.
It wasn't.
I mean,
it was
Miz
terrible,
dad.
But in a really good way.
Miz dad. I mean, getting his ribs broken. Like shoot broken by a duff. Was it a knee or a punch?
I don't know. Shane being Shane.
Like a potato punch. It just broke the Miz dad in half.
And also Shane's bump where Miz hit him with like a monitor, I think, and he jumped backwards over some railings onto like a cart or something. Oh, it was what a bump. It was brilliant.
That's physics.
Yeah, that's physics straight up. And also something we did forget to do, which we do need to do before the show ends today, is we need to say thank you to some very special people.
Oh,
our $25 and above pledge hammers on our Patreon page. If you haven't been to our, Patreon page yet, patreon.com/wrestletalk. So much
got
content
it.
Over there. We've got WrestleTalk Extra, WrestleTalk After Dark. You get to play in Wrestle League. You get to do all sorts of stuff on our Patreon page. This month for WrestleTalk Extra, where Luke and Ollie review a retro show from years gone by, they're reviewing NXT TakeOver London, which both of them were actually in attendance for live at the time. So they're reviewing that. We've also had WrestleTalk After Dark earlier this month. There's a whole bunch of extra stuff there. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname and it gets read out on a show. Much like this one. So thank you to par for the course, Zarjeff.
Woo!
Woo! Thank you.
What's love got to do with it, Matthew Turner?
Woo! Thank you very much. Tower of London, Nigel Morris.
Yeah. Daylight robbery, Rob James.
Yeah. Starbucks, Stephen Costa.
Yeah. General Jimmy G.
When life gives you Jake Lemon, make lemonade.
Oh, yeah. Colin McLeana than Finn Balor.
Yeah. Thank you. Geordi bus driver Harry.
Yeah. And finally, abominable Michael Rabber.
No, actually say his name. He doesn't have an R in it.
Abominable Michael Abbott.
You are terrible. Thank you very
Sorry,
much.
I'll do it properly. Abominable Michael Abbott.
Yeah. Thank you very much, all of our pledge hammers. Apparently, we have a last-minute Ultra Chat coming in here. William Tochi Jr. said, what happens when you unleash the Pete? You get blown up like Ollie. Also, support Wrestle Pete.
I was blown up too. Pete, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
No, no, no. We're actually out of time on this episode. We've already gone over an hour. No, no, no. I mean, maybe. If we get time tomorrow, we'll talk about it. But obviously, we've got NXT to review tomorrow as well. But this is going to do it for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching. Do appreciate it. Myself and Andy will be back tomorrow reviewing NXT 2.0. And it's going to be great. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, oh my god, we haven't even recorded the show yet, the spoilers, but I just don't want to talk about it. I'm just at that point where I'm just like, I don't want to talk about Raw, it's bad.
So it doesn't help that it's a bank holiday as well, and not that I really, not that I had any significant plans. I've got a couple of, I was about to say negative friends. They've tested negative. coming over later to stay for the night, but I had today off, and then I remembered that I was reviewing Raw, and then I was like, oh man,
oh, that sucks.
And I've also got tomorrow off, and I'm like, oh, but I've got because I took tomorrow off because it's my friend. So my friend was supposed to be going to Paris, like for her birthday, which is tomorrow,
right?
But then obviously couldn't go to Paris. So she's very upset about that, understandably. I mean, yes, first world problems, but also you want to go to Paris. Yeah. What I decided was the second best option is for me to drive up and see her tomorrow. So, yeah, I might be doing the NXT review from someone's house tomorrow.
That sounds fun.
Spoiler. Hey, they've got good internet. I've already checked with them.
Okay, that's good. Are you going to have a room to yourself? Are you going to have a quiet room?
Yeah, yeah. They've got an office. I've already made sure that I'm going to be in the right place for the NXT 2.0 review, which is obviously the most important part of my week.
Absolutely, yeah. It's such a show.
Did you have it, Pete, last week? I know because you weren't off all last week, but you were off for bits of last week. Were you? Were you off for none of it last week?
Was I off?
I feel like you were off on the Monday anyway. And you're always off on the Monday.
Oh, yeah, I'm always off Mondays, yeah.
But last week, did you just find that you couldn't settle to any work because you're like it was the week before Christmas and I couldn't give a S word
pretty much. Yeah, I mean the NXT review devolved into me instead reviewing the hamper I got from work. So
because I got a different one to everyone else.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think because obviously I don't drink alcohol.
Yeah,
and so I just got more chocolate than I've ever had in my house in my entire life. It was so much chocolate that I brought about 4 boxes home to my parents for Christmas, and I still have more than half left. And I started eating them last night. I was like, I really appreciate the thought from Ollie, but I'm not a big chocolate eater. But so this is going to last me for months. I'm very much a sweetie candy man. I'm a candy man. I for about 3 chocolates yesterday. I was like, that'll do me.
And the thing with these hampers as well is, I think they're really good for 2 people, but I live by myself.
I'm currently living by myself because my lady partner's home for a few weeks. So she's not back till the 8th. And so I've just had this mountain of chocolate. I'm hoping I can offload some of my friends later.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it, Ollie, for listening, which you're not. I know you're not. Luke might be though.
Of course he's not.
It's just a lot. I don't know if you realize quite, because I got a text saying your package from this place is being delivered. I was like, I haven't ordered anything. So but about an hour before I went, oh, Ollie did ask what my new address was the other day, probably what it is. And even then I was expecting like a cake or something like that. And then to open it and just find so much chocolate.
Yeah.
And obviously I had it with some salt and vinegar crisp and a glass of milk.
Of course you did. But yeah, that was the NXT review last week, because I didn't want to talk about NXT because it was like, it's basically Christmas.
They don't do that recap show anymore, do they? They do on NXT the last few years.
That's SmackDown this week is just a top 10 best moments of 2021 or whatever show.
Are you reviewing it?
Funnily enough, no, because everyone is off on the first. So there's no SmackDown.
That's true. Well, we are covering day one live on the website, wrestletalk.com.
Indeed. We're going to have a review on the Sunday the 2nd on the main WrestleTalk channel, but just we're not doing a regular SmackDown and Rampage stuff.
I've said it several times. I've said it previously in the review, which we haven't recorded yet. But in that segment between Miz and Maryse and Edge, they probably said day one 150,000 times, and I'm probably underselling it. It was when we face each other at day one on day one. Day one is going to be a day one to remember. And day one is on Saturday in Atlanta is day one. Okay, I get it. Come on, guys. There are other things you can talk about.
I don't know, man. It's a go-home show for day one. Like, you got to sell the show. I can't remember. It's something like... It's the first day of the year, so it's something like
right,
around that. It's
okay.
Like first day or something like that, you know?
I'm excited for that. The party I'm going to is in, like, north of Ipswich.
Fun.
So, oh my god, and the cat's back. He left and now he's back. A bit of a tangent, but I have 2 cats. One is very much like me in the sense that he will sit down and then will get up again 5 minutes later and then run around for a bit and then come and sit down again. You've seen me at work.
I sure have.
And the other one is very much like my lady partner, who will just flop on the sofa and will lie there for hours and hours and hours and be able to be very happy doing that. So it's only natural that I have an affinity with the one that's much more like her, and she is has a sort of much better relationship with this one who's on my lap at the moment. We've bonded with the cats that are like us. Our partners, I almost said spouses. We're not there yet. Our partners, but they're quite nice, really. Although, so we had a cat sitter. Well, one of our friends who lives nearby would come and feed them twice a day. And we've never had a single problem with these cats before, other than the fact that they're cats and just the general being a bit smelly and pooing everywhere in their litter boxes.
Everywhere.
First night, text saying, is it normal for your cat to have diarrhea? It's like, well, they've had it before, but like it usually goes away. Like it's. And he said, okay, well, I've just found a pile on your carpet that's got blood in it, and I was like,
oh, right.
And this was like 10:30 at night. I was like, crap. Am I going to have to spend Christmas with my cats because they were ill. So I called the emergency vet and they said, well, look, it sounds like they've just got some inflammation, which is caused by the diarrhea. It should go away. But obviously, I just felt terrible making this poor girl who had just been like, yeah, do you mind? Got her like a bottle of wine and some chocolate. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
And then immediately poos on the like diarrhea, bloody diarrhea. And then it throws up one of them throws up the next day on our. So she did about 12 times much more work.
This is a delightful conversation.
Than I was expecting. So I went and bought her. I messaged her boyfriend who she lives with and said, look, she's gone a bit above and beyond here. It must be something more I could get her.
Yeah.
And so I got her The Witcher on the Switch.
Oh, nice.
She'd been wanting that for a while. The Switcher. And he just wants to be scratched on the head. So they're very lovely cats. But yeah, they never had a single issue. And then as soon as I leave, I think it was a dirty protest. I left.
Probably,
went,
yeah.
Right, well, I'm going to... All of my body fluids are going on the floor. My blood, poo, pus.
This is, again... A lovely, delightful conversation we're having.
I mean, this is what you do when your lady partner goes home, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
That's true. But yes, no. So that's how I spent my Christmas. Mainly, I woke up the next morning. He just splattered me with spit. I woke up the next morning at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was so anxious about the cat. I was like, I'm gonna have to go back. I'm gonna have to go look after her because I can't leave them with her. Like, I can't make her look after them for a few days.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make it back to sleep. But then about 9 o'clock, she texted saying that they were looking much better. They were eating, and all droppings were very solid and in the right place. And I was like, okay, I can relax a bit now. It was a one off. They're fine. I can enjoy my Christmas now.
Well done.
And then I proceeded to eat way too much food and sit in a coma on Boxing Day, basically.
I mean, that's, I feel like that's fairly standard. But good stuff overall, then. Yay.
Yeah.
Good, positive, fun stories. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Andy and I will be back tomorrow to review NXT 2.0. Andy can't wait. And
I love that
can
show.
I? So do I, yeah. Can't wait to review it some more. And then I'll be back with Laurie on Thursday to review AEW Dynamite as well. Good times. Stay tuned, everyone. Really do appreciate it. I hope you all, if you don't listen to the NXT or the AEW podcast or whatever, then I hope you have a good new year. And we'll see you in the new year. Stay safe. We love you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.